Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to episode 1000, I think.
Almost.
Almost.
Right around the corner, actually.
Closer than a quarter, which is crazy.
And we're not stopping until we get there.
We're not stopping until that happens.
Full speed ahead.
Four digits is what we're aiming for.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
The quad digis, the Joe Rogan numbers.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And we're going to read every other comic book we've ever read, that we haven't read yet, for 1,000.
Yeah, and then just top it off.
Yep, and then that'll be it.
We'll have read all the comics by then.
It'll be a 20-hour episode.
Jesus, because, like, think about how many, like, reboots would be from now and then, you know? And so, like...
So many.
But I guess it'd only take, like, a week to catch up. You know, like on the newest Daredevil run, you know, just do the first trade of that because we don't have to do the whole run. It's true. Just the first trade.
First trade. That's true. Yeah.
It's going to be hard to keep thinking of like things to do for the 100th episodes.
Yeah, I know. We were struggling just for a third one.
I know. We're like, fucking read all of Superman. I don't know. Do we have to read 1,000 comics when we hit 1,000?
Yes.
So Batman 1 through 1,000?
Well, like, no, when was Batman's first appearance? It was like Detective Comics 27. So we go from 27 to 1,027. And that gets us through some Grant Morrison stuff, some Scott Snyder stuff.
Through all the stuff, yeah.
Through all the stuff. I think that's the only way.
Anyway, we talk about comics. We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Daredevil, Volume 3. It's called Dark Art. From Charles Soule's run.
Yes.
The first appearance of Muse.
Muse.
Who will be making an appearance in the new Daredevil show. Mm-hmm. That's why we did this. We normally do volume ones.
But sometimes, fuck you. That's why we did this.
I'm sorry. It works, okay? We got Back Matter Matters, if there is Back Matter.
Yeah, who knows?
The poll list in, but we start with the news. Nathan, Tom Taylor signs a DC exclusive deal.
Whoa, good for him.
It seems like he's been doing a lot of DC stuff anyway.
I thought he already was on one.
Maybe he renewed it. I don't know.
I think he renewed it. But wait, no, he was doing like some Spider-Man recently, I thought. Or
there's like Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man that we read.
Maybe that's
that was 3 years ago.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, he said he was going to bring...
Well, he did Dark Ages, but that was also like 2 years ago.
That was also, yeah, like a little bit ago. So, but he said he was going to bring... He's going to do like Dark Knights of Steel 2.
Oh.
So he's going to do more of that.
Well, it's like the all winter one, right?
Yeah.
Or is there another one?
Another one.
I think. Wow. Okay.
And then I forget what else.
Pretty exciting.
I got to be honest. My phone's been like fucked up and I haven't been able to like screenshot any news or anything. So this is an all.
You're raw dogging it?
This is all you week.
Oh, really? Okay. There's not a lot. You could also write down some of that stuff.
I don't know how.
In your notes?
I only know how to type.
Or type it in your notes?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll think about that next time.
I was looking at... I set up a Substack, and I was looking at Zdarsky's releases.
Ooh.
And he's got Fantastic Four, Fate of the Four, coming April 1st. That is a collection of his Marvel 2-in-1 series. It's 12 issues and like an annual. I didn't realize how long it was.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's good?
Yeah, it's good. I've read it.
Cool.
Yeah, it starts off with like...
That's coming out.
There's a couple good artists that are on there. I know Declan Shalvey does the annual, which has some Doom stuff in there. And I think Jim Chung does most of the art for that.
Nice.
But it's really cool. Very unique, just because it's just the Thing and Human Torch that are in it. And they're like trying to figure out what happened to Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman.
Spoilers, Nathan.
That's the pitch. That's the pitch of the book.
He's got his upcoming signings on here, and he's got Mexico City in March, and I just think that's funny.
Like, what are you doing here?
Oh yeah. Like, how's he gonna handle
the heat?
He's also coming to Phoenix in June, but also just like the language barrier. Like, how's he gonna?
Oh yeah.
Just hear like Batman, like, and you're like, oh, that's me. Yep.
I did a Batman, and then he'll just like doodle a little Batman.
Yeah. What else we got? New Marvel series, The Vision and Scarlet Witch. five issue limited series.
Steve Orlando.
Steve Orlando.
Russell Dowderman, I believe. Or he's just doing cover.
Lorenzo Tameda and Jacopo Camagni.
Cool. Just kidding. Russell Dowderman's doing the covers then.
Yeah, going on sale May 21st.
Cool.
So that's neat, I guess.
That should be kind of cool. I mean, we haven't really seen them be like a couple or whatever.
I guess it's the 50th anniversary of their wedding.
They had a wedding?
I guess so.
Whoa.
Well, at some point, yeah.
Is that in a trade? For when I get married later this year, we could do that one.
Ooh.
I wonder if any drama happened.
I bet it's like one issue and then like there's stuff around it.
What do we do for your wedding again?
Dude, that we did Deadpool's wedding.
We should probably do the Spider-Man one for mine. We only got one more chance at this, dude. We got to pick the right one.
I like the Deadpool one. It worked.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Scott Koblish, he commented on our post. Say congratulations.
Oh, nice. My goat.
Nathan, I know you like a list.
I like a list.
You like a list of the top 50 comic books by unit of 2024.
By unit?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like just individual issue?
How many units were pushed, Nathan?
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, let's see. Wait, of 2024?
2024, all of last year.
Absolute Batman, number one.
That is number one, Nathan. What is number two?
Aliens versus Avengers?
That is 29.
Ooh, wow. Jonathan Hickman fell off.
It's still like top 50. Which is
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ultimate Spider-Man, number two. What is number three, Nathan?
Oh, God. Ultimate Superman?
Ultimate Superman, Nathan?
Yeah.
This is not a book.
Sorry, Absolute Superman.
That is correct. You're on a roll.
Oh,
Nathan.
My God.
Keep it rolling. You're not going to get four, though.
Oh, God.
What is number four?
Batman number 148.
Nope.
What is it?
Absolute Batman number two.
God damn it.
which is pretty crazy.
I'm surprised I got the top three. I'm not gonna lie.
How about number five, Nathan?
Is it a number one?
Correct.
Absolute Wonder Woman.
Correct.
Hey.
What about number six?
Is it Marvel?
Yep.
The Ultimates.
Nope. Ultimate is 21.
Absolute Power? No one really cared about that, though, I feel like.
Absolute Power, number one, is number 40.
Damn. I'm surprised. Okay, I don't know then. What is it?
X-Men, number one.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's probably.
At number 10, there is an Image comic book, number one. Would you like to guess?
No.
G.I. Joe, number one.
Really? Wow, people fucking love G.I. Joe, I guess.
I guess.
Damn, any surprising ones in there?
There is a couple. Number 31, Thundercats, number one.
Okay.
From Dynamite Entertainment.
Yeah.
People have
nostalgia for that, I guess.
For sure. At number 37, Batman 142.
Okay.
Which is the first issue of that Joker year one.
Yep. That makes sense. I figured one of the...
But this list is riddled with Ultimate, Absolute, number one.
They did good at marketing it. You know,
yeah, they did pretty good. I guess
both of them did like surprisingly well with both marketing it and getting a good team behind it to make it pretty interesting.
What rank do you think TMNT got?
Ooh, it's probably top 25. I'm gonna say it's. I'm gonna say it's 22.
15.
Oh, okay. All right, that's good. I like TMNT.
Yeah, but like going from like seven, it's like Spider-Man, X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman,
yeah.
X-Men, Spider-Man, Wolverine.
I'm saying those are like, oh, okay.
Spider-Man.
Wait, Wolverine
Superman.
With like Greg?
Or
just regular Wolverine.
Regular Wolverine?
Yeah.
Whoever's on that. Is that Ben Percy?
Ben Percy, I think.
I feel like he only does Wolverine. So
I don't think he's ever done anything
else. It's like a good guess.
He did Green Arrow once and then he's just been Wolverine.
Yeah. And so it's just like.
That's cool. I mean, yeah, they did good. They deserve to be there. So
the first 12 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man were in the top 50.
Good.
That's crazy.
I mean, I read up to like four or five and I want to continue. They come out so damn fast. Was Ultimate X-Men on there?
Ultimate X-Men number 12. Uncanny
okay.
X-Men number one.
Wait, what?
Uncanny X-Men.
Right. That was number 12 on the list.
That was number eight.
What about Ultimate X-Men? Like the Peach Momoko one?
Number 12.
Oh, okay. Got it. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was neat.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just something to be said about having good, accessible sort of jumping on points or having creative talent on stuff that can just do whatever they want. It would yield a good book. Big, big surprise.
Yeah, no, it was cool. I like seeing those lists.
Yeah. I also saw that.
They're also like not very like exciting to me, but they are like the most marketable, you know?
Some of them are pretty exciting for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man, I didn't think I was going to like as much as I did.
Yeah.
Just because it was genuinely like pretty interesting what they were doing with it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, all the Absolute stuff, I've just been, it just seems like the most hell yeah kind of comics. So, sure. And they are. So I like it a lot. But other news that I saw, there's like 30 companies that are bidding for Diamond who just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So yeah. It's going to be picked up probably by some company.
Did you know any of them or did they list that?
They didn't list it, but they said there's like about 30 companies that are.
Yeah, it's probably just some sort of like
even
conglomerate
if it's,
kind of thing to like absorb it, you know, yeah. But could also keep it going.
Even if they plan on stripping it for parts, I guess that could be a thing that happens. But I assume they're going to pick it up to continue what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how that's going to affect the market. So interesting. Could be good or bad. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. What book are we reading this week, Nathan?
Daniel, we read Daredevil Volume 3 of Charles Soule's run. I don't know what like edition of Daredevil this is, you know there's like,
oh, they call those the volumes or whatever.
Yeah, it's like those are like,
I
each
just
run is volume.
I just put 2015 is,
yeah,
when it
2015
started.
Daredevil Volume 3.
This contains,
it's called Dark Art, that's what the trade is called, and it's by Charles Soule, Ron Garney, Matt Miller, and Clayton Calles.
This contains issues 10 through 14.
Yes. And we decided to read this because Daredevil Born Again's going to be coming out. And in the trailer, we saw Muse, who is a character that Charles Soule created in this run.
And this is his first appearance.
This is his first appearance we're reading. And we get his origin. Pretty fucking cool. What'd you think? Just kind of in general.
Yeah, it was like about what I expected, but it was like a good read.
Yeah.
Charles Soule's really good at writing like a self-contained arc.
Yeah,
which is,
I noticed
good.
That too.
I didn't feel confused at all. I didn't feel like lost in continuity.
Okay,
like jumping into the third volume.
Yeah.
So I'd almost feel confident like picking up like any,
just,
you know,
like,
trade
random
of Charles Soule's run and being okay, you know?
Yeah.
So this could be good for like a new that format and doing it that way is good for new readers to just kind of jump on,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Of the Daredevil that I've read, Charles Daredevil feels like the most Daredevil that's been like kind of in continuity almost.
Okay.
Because there's like stuff happening, and I think Daredevil feels like he's in continuity because some of the stuff that was happening in Marvel continuity was being run by Charles Soule at the time, but there's like Inhuman stuff happening, and he was like writing Inhumans and kind of spearheading a lot of that. But he manages to find a way to make it very natural for Daredevil to like be in there and be a part of the universe, where I feel like a lot of Daredevil runs just feel like it's just Daredevil in this universe almost. Like unless they see like a random Spider-Man appearance or something. But
yeah.
But this I think he did a really good job of kind of portraying what was going on in Marvel at this time and then also making a really compelling character. And yeah. But I also agree that you can just hop on and read this book and you won't be super lost, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if I felt that way rereading this because I've read most of this run, but yeah, I feel like a lot of his trades kind of feel that way.
Yeah, that's why we always do volume ones, mm-hmm. to have just, like a good starting point, but this definitely fits into that category too.
But
and the art fucking rules.
The art is so good.
I was like, I love this all.
Yeah, and even if we did just jump in and do random trades, it's kind of fun just kind of jumping in and being like kind of lost
with what's going on. Yeah.
Because whenever you start reading ongoing comics, you kind of just have to deal with whatever's going on.
Especially
in
Marvel.
The universe. Yeah, for Marvel or DC, you know?
But Marvel, like, it just, like, keeps going.
Marvel,
you know?
Yeah, Marvel, it's, like, very ingrained. Because, like, if you were jumping right now and you're like, what the hell is Doom up to right now? Because there's, like, one world under Doom going on.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, I don't know, I'll try and put the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
DC kind of feels that way, too, because they just had that, like, absolute Darkseid's dead thing they had going on. And that's affecting a couple people, but yeah, I think this is really good. So I was surprised at how much I forgot about this, but then the big moments I was like, that was fucking crazy. So
yeah,
it's cool. But yeah, so just quick continuity check-in as best as I could remember. This is just
check
off the dome.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Perfect.
So Well, I wrote down it, but I didn't look
at it. If I was confused, I was going to go back and read like the first nine, but I didn't really think it was necessary, honestly.
No. Yeah, there's like one like pretty cool villain that happens, and then you kind of see... anyway, here's like what's going on. So Daredevil, I think he was like the district attorney or something, and or at least higher ranking of a lawyer. Or Matt Murdock was not Daredevil, but...
Well, he had a private practice, didn't he?
He did have a private practice, but then he... was like working for the district attorney or was district attorney. There was something that happened where everybody knew Daredevil's identity and then he figured out a way to reset that. And I think it had to do with like the Purple Man or something. But basically now he's at the DA office and he got like demoted down to this like sort of lower rank in that office. And he was thrown into like the closet of like the DA office because he's blind. And so people were like, I guess he won't mind.
Isn't it like an elevator shaft?
Yeah, elevator shaft. It's just like a small space that like a lawyer wouldn't work out of.
Yeah.
And they put him in there because he's blind, which is kind of fucked up. But also Blind Spot is Daredevil's sidekick and Daredevil saved Blind Spot from this mob villain named Ten Fingers, which was like the first trade of this, I think. And then there's Terrigen Mist floating around the world, which is a thing that turns people into Inhumans if they have the Inhuman gene. But normally you'd have to be like living with Inhumans to like become Inhuman and get their powers.
Yeah.
But something blew up New Attilan, where all the Inhumans live. And so now it's just like this big cloud of like Terrigen Mist that's just kind of going around the world and randomly turning people into Inhumans.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure they were doing this because they didn't have the rights to X-Men. Like the movie people didn't have the rights to X-Men. And I think those studios were trying to make Inhumans more popular so they can make an Inhumans thing. But then they fucked that up. So
they have the Terrigen Mist or like a cloud. Just kind of go around the city, turning all these people, creating a bunch of characters and stories.
Pretty much, yeah. And they were trying to just like make a bunch of essentially X-Men pop up around so that they could do interesting things with them.
And now they just totally like cut off Inhumans. And then and now they're even turning Inhumans into X-Men.
It's fucking awesome. The amount of like cultural erasure or whatever you call it, that's happening for Inhumans in Marvel is so funny because they just completely bailed on it.
What sucks is, like, I think Inhumans as, like, a concept and then, like, some of the imagery is, like, so cool.
There's a lot of good Inhuman stuff.
Yeah, and so it's just kind of a bummer that's, like, just being, like pushed out, you know?
Yeah, especially, like, Charles Soule stuff had really compelling Inhuman stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of it it feels like X-Men, but more royal and sort of more political at times, and I kind of enjoy that aspect
of it. Yeah, that seems
cool. Yeah, so.
Have we done any Inhumans?
I don't think so.
Shit.
We didn't miss Marvel. She's an Inhuman. Not anymore, though. So I guess we haven't. Anyway, so let's get into the book. It's issue...
Our episodes got rebooted, isn't
it? Yeah, true. So we got to go to issue 10 for the start of this trade. Daredevil's in his black and red suit. He's doing his normal thing while Matt Murdock works at the DA's office with his assistant, Sam, who is secretly Daredevil's sidekick, Blind Spot. But while Matt Murdock works on some like night court cases that he was assigned to, Blind Spot patrols New York and he finds a crime scene that contains a dead body and a painting that was done with only blood. So painted blood on this like piece. And it was staged at like an art museum randomly. And when Daredevil shows up to kind of check it out, he can tell that the painting has the blood of over 100 people in it. And that's kind of the first issue essentially. But Daniel, first question, most important, what do you think of the suit?
The black suit?
It's a black and red suit.
Pretty fire.
Pretty fire.
I don't know if I'd appreciate it in live action.
I was going to say the same thing. I think this only works because of Ron Garney doing the art for it.
Yeah.
He manages to make it interesting.
Because then it would just look like two Batman, you know?
Yeah.
In like live action. Like there are like red accents, like his like gloves and his boots and stuff.
Right.
But my go-to is just like the all red.
Yeah. All red, I think, definitely best for live action. But I think it works here because of how Ron Garney does like the shading of it. And the shading's like in all white, which I think is kind of an interesting take.
That's just like an artistic thing that he's doing there.
Right. But I like that aspect of it. And I like that the red and like the wrist strap things and his boots, like those parts of it really pop. So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Maybe as like a stealth suit, I guess it could work, you know, like it seems like in the show, he might pull out the yellow suit again and have like the red suit a little bit. So
I hope it stays
for some reason he needs to be like unseen, the black could work, but
But I hope he keeps the red because it's ridiculous. If he's trying to go stealth him, he just keeps the red. But, and then we have this Blind Spot character. And I've always really, really liked Blind Spot. I think it's kind of a highlight of this run.
I think I read the first trade of this run because what you were saying is like ringing a bell for me. And the trade cover looks familiar. And I've read something with Blind Spot in it.
Yeah, he's cool. I think he's a good apprentice. Or
it might have been, there's like a Daredevil versus Punisher book. And I think it was during this time.
Yeah.
And I think Blind Spot was in that.
That sounds right.
So maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But
But Blind Spot's cool because basically his deal is that he has a suit and he like pushes a button and he turns invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's kind of a cool apprentice for Daredevil because when he's training him on how to fight and stuff, Daredevil's blind, like, so he could like still see him perfectly fine.
Yeah, to him.
Yeah. And so he kind of teaches him how to fight. Even when he's like in a situation that he's not used to, and I think that's kind of cool.
How to fight when he thinks he's invisible, but he can still see.
When he thinks he has the upper hand, essentially. So I think it's cool training. And then the character himself is an undocumented immigrant, and Matt Murdock is obviously a lawyer, so he's kind of helping him out in those situations.
Yeah, because he works for Matt,
right?
But he doesn't know Matt's Daredevil.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So he sees this dude like 24 hours a day.
Yeah, you'd think like if he's calling him on the phone, because he calls Daredevil and then he calls Matt Murdock like at different points. And I'm like, you don't think that that's the same person?
Daredevil voice?
Yeah, he probably just is like a little low voice.
Then what if it's the same fucking phone?
He just maybe
Daredevil slash Matt Murdock.
Yeah, does he have two phones then? I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, so maybe he's like, oh, I let Daredevil borrow my phone at night.
Well, maybe he just gave him like a WhatsApp phone number or something.
Oh, yeah. You can have two numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what
that's ended fucking up happening. Hilarious.
But Charles Soule also being on Daredevil is awesome because he used to be a lawyer. And I think definitely it's like the strongest like lawyer aspect of Daredevil I think I've ever read.
Yeah. He knows the grind.
Because he makes like interesting sort of superhero lawyering sort of situations.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he's a really good fit. But
there's the first panel, it says like, it says 1 a.m., I think.
No, I am.
It is I am?
Or no, 1 a.m. Yeah, you're right.
But I thought it said I am, and I was waiting for it to say Daredevil somewhere. But no. Also, it's like not even dark.
Yeah.
But I guess to him, it wouldn't be dark.
I think that's just his vision.
Because then later, we get like a 3 p.m. when he's like at work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that must be what it is.
So I felt kind of dumb.
I didn't even...
They need to choose a different font if you're going to put a 1 in there, you know?
We get like a really clear 1.
Yeah. You know?
I think Blind Spot suit looks really cool, and then there's this painting at the end that's...
He kind of just looks like a samurai or something, and he's got like a hockey mask on.
He's very ninjack. Who reads this knows who Ninjack is, I'm pretty sure, but that's kind of just what he looks
like. You don't even know who Ninjack is.
I barely know who Ninjack is, but he looks like that, but I think I like the mask with like the hair combo.
The mask is helpful, yeah.
And then there's this blood painting. And I'm confused about that, because I don't think blood has that level of contrast to where you'd be able to make a painting like this. But the painting itself, I was actually kind of impressed by.
Well, maybe like it different aged, or like as it oxidates, it gets to different colors.
Different clot levels of
blood,
maybe. But then some of it's like pretty bright. So
maybe everyone's blood is like this same.
Maybe if you mix it with water.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. But the painting itself is pretty impressive.
It like, just looks like some weird shit.
Well, it feels like this would be something that like is at an art museum. And he has to draw this like multiple times. And so I'm surprised at like the level of detail that he went into.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even really think about that.
Because like when you first see it, it's like this big moment and it's like a double page spread and it's full kind of art. And then, you know, he has to draw it again in different pieces multiple times. So it's a... That must have been really tough to just like draw that initially.
I guess
and then
if he's like
it.
A digital artist,
he might be. I don't even know.
You'd like cut it and then just kind of morph it to different angles.
Or maybe like the colorist does that. Maybe he just did it the one time and you can get like a straight on shot of it. And then going forward, he probably just puts like, you know, angled pieces of the canvas that they can fit to it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that. But pretty cool.
Or he grinds it out and did it.
He could, yeah. Because I do think Ron Garney does. Like pencils. Like, I don't think he's a digital artist, but.
Mm.
But yeah, that's pretty much that issue. So, issue 11.
Did you see this Marvel Tsum Tsum variant?
Yes. Do you know what a Tsum Tsum is?
Well, I think I pronounced it correctly. I think it's just like a plushy thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think they have like a...
There's like a Spider-Man one and like a Miles Morales one.
I think
one.
There's like an all Tsum Tsum book. It's like a one-shot
yeah.
or something.
Oh my God. I forgot about that. Dude, that could be a whole month is like weird product placements.
We got
Tsum Tsums. Marvel Rivals.
Oh, dang. Just spin-off things.
Yeah. Like the Fortnite one. The KFC comics. We just figure out where all those are. Or the Snickers ones, I mean. No, there was like a full KFC one, wasn't there?
There's like a Flash one, I remember.
Yeah.
I had like a digital version of it. I think it's still on my Kindle if I scroll down.
Remember the FaZe Clan Batman comic?
No.
You don't? Yeah, me neither. Didn't buy it. Issue 11. So the owner of the art museum where the blood painting is selfishly opens the blood piece up to the public for a cost so that he could benefit from it, despite the police and even a councilwoman trying to get it to shut down. That night when he's about to open, the piece is discovered to be erased by the killer, and he writes an address for the spot of his next art piece to be displayed. So Matt, Murdock, and Sam go to the address and find that it has a bunch of like inhuman bodies that have been staged like statues doing like normal human tasks. And Daredevil senses that the killer is nearby, and he confronts him on top of the roof. And that's the cliffhanger for this issue. So we see Muse for the first time. They're calling him like Vincent Van Gogh until he like tells everybody that his name is Muse.
Boo.
But yeah, sounds a little bit corny. But the name Muse is pretty cool. But this design of him, I remember reading it for the first time and I'm like, that is pretty fucking cool.
It's like cool, but then like you kind of look at it and I'm like, I think they're trying to just really make something different. Like, give him a beanie.
Cool.
Get him suspenders.
Yeah, well, you got to make him look like an artist, you know, at the same time.
Yeah, and then, does he have a backpack on or something?
I don't know. I think this is just suspenders. I think he does have a backpack on. I don't know. Maybe that's like where he keeps his brushes.
Maybe it attaches to his suspenders.
Yeah, could be it too. But I like
this. And then he's got this blood-looking design on him.
Yeah, like a splotch thing on his chest.
And I think, his eyes are like red.
Yeah. His eyes are like red and black and like tearing blood trails like down his face.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
So it's very scary. Like, I think in the show, they're just doing normal eyes, you know?
That
could look so corny if like they do some sort of weird swirly red eyes.
Oh, that's fine. But did they not have the blood streaks?
There's the streaks there.
Oh, okay.
On like the mask or whatever.
That's cool. Yeah. I don't think they should do this like weird swirly thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the design's cool. Pretty unsettling for like a big two book. I would say for like a villain.
I guess it does look like what a artist villain would look like.
Yeah.
You know? And the concept alone is really cool.
It's like he's like a Banksy, but he's like a murderer kind of deal.
Yeah, this is what Banksy murderer would look like.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they nailed the design. And I also think it's cool how Muse views himself as an artist. So like if you were a murderer and you kill someone, you wouldn't like go back to the crime scene. You know, that's like not a thing that actually happens, I guess Daredevil said, but this guy views himself as an artist, so he wants to gauge the reaction of people like viewing his art, which is why Daredevil's able to like point him out. And I thought that was kind of a cool thing.
I like this inhuman thing.
Yeah.
A lot. Because like the art, the painting, I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's cool. And then I don't know how many I was expecting really. How many like art pieces?
Yeah.
But it's not just like paintings and stuff. Like he'll do like different things, like these like sculpture. And I know they're people, but like he staged like all these people.
Yeah, I don't know how he managed to do that. But yeah, this is like a sort of a walk-in sort of art exhibit thing. And there's an inhuman like on the toilet, or like one's ironing a shirt and stuff like that. Pretty unsettling. I think the first piece was cooler, just because I didn't expect the painting to look like that. But this is cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the big moment where that like painting was erased and then he puts the address of like where his next thing is going to be.
Yeah.
That's a cool moment as well. So pretty neat.
Cause there is like the moral part of showing this piece of work that is just the blood of murdered people,
a bunch of victims
for like a profit. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of fucked. But then I'm like,
it is.
I guess people want to see it, you know,
people would see it. I believe that people would see it. With how many people, you know, listen to like crime podcasts and things like that, like they're very interested in what I guess serial killers kind of produce. or what they do. Mm-hmm. And so if you're able to like see one up close, I'm sure people would see it, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, how do you feel about the name Muse?
I like it. You don't like it?
Dude, I was going through Muse's like discography and they got some fucking bangers.
They do. I saw them live. It was awesome.
You saw them live? Yeah. When the fuck was that?
I saw them with Evanescence. We were there for Evanescence.
Oh, dude, that fucking rules.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good concert. Yeah. I had so many beers.
That sounds sweet.
But yeah, Muse was cool seeing them live. They have a big production thing that they do.
Yeah, I guess like
some bangers.
A Muse is like used in art, I guess. Or
I don't know what a muse
like,
is.
It's kind of like a person who is kind of like an inspiration for like art in a way.
Oh.
So I guess that kind of makes sense.
Okay. Interesting. I think that's a little self-conceited for this muse guy to call himself that.
Yeah, so he's the muse?
I guess so.
For himself?
For art? I don't know. Issue 12. So Muse gets away with like a fake explosive thing that he has. So he's able to escape Daredevil. And at the new crime scene, there's like a bunch of Inhuman cops that are there doing forensics and identifying the Inhumans. And there's this guy named Frank McGee, who is a cop from New York, turned Inhuman from the Terrigen Mists. And his power is that he can like 3D snapshot a crime scene with his eyes and just like go look at it later, I guess, which is kind of cool. But Frank gets Daredevil a meeting with Medusa for help finding the killer because Inhumans are involved now. And when Medusa says no to Daredevil, Daredevil refuses to leave. He gets into a fight with Karnak for a little bit. And then after that, Sam calls Daredevil to say that Muse has made like another appearance and he's like in the courtroom with him right now.
I like how Medusa's drawn here.
Yeah, she's drawn in a very interesting way.
It almost like, seems like it's Ron Garney's paying tribute to like J. Lee artwork.
Yeah, you know? It does feel like that, doesn't it?
Because she's got like this sort of like headdress kind of thing that's coming from her mask. And yeah, like,
it seems very like
her eyes are far apart. And
that's a J. Lee style for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I like the crown thing that she has. It's very Hella, but for, right, like, right. That's pretty cool. This is like when Karnak went through a big redesign. And
great redesign.
So probably the best redesign. Because he looked like a fucking doofus before. And then
now
like,
he just looks hard as hell.
And then he just got this redesign and he had this solo series for Karnak. And it just has like the most aura out of like any redesign I think I've ever seen. And that book is good.
Was that his first?
I think it's his first solo.
Is that when the redesign was introduced?
I don't know if it was because of the Karnak series or if they were just sort of trying to reinvigorate the Inhuman sort of line in general.
Was that Warren Ellis?
Yeah, it was that Warren Ellis run. That fucking dude. And then I can't remember who does the art on it, which kind of sucks. I'm going to look it up. But I remember I read it and I was like kind of knocked on my ass with how good it was.
But like being like your power is like finding people's weaknesses or like weak spots and stuff like that. I'm like, that's so cool.
Zaffino? And then David Aja did covers on it, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Jorge Zaffino.
Did you see?
He's great.
David Aja's cover for Martian Manhunter?
Yeah.
Fire.
Oh, my God. Why is that guy not doing books anymore?
He did the Seed. The Seed, yeah.
I read the first issue and I was confused and scared, and so I didn't.
This is an alien book or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't for me. It was like. It looked good.
Yeah, it was just like kind of an aura book in a way, like the art wise.
Yeah,
but it was like such a vibe.
He's so good.
But yeah, like I saw that cover, I'm like, I want a poster of this. This is so sick. It looks
that'd
like
be such a good poster.
It looks like a t-shirt. Looks like an album cover.
Oh my god, yeah.
A movie poster.
He's really good at that, dude. I'm so glad that he had a run on Iron Fist because whenever there's a new Iron Fist, he gets a cover on it.
Oh really?
And it's awesome. Did we read that? We did.
Oh no.
Immortal Iron Fist.
What happened in it?
Okay, so there's an Iron Fist, but he has guns. Do you remember that?
No.
There's an Iron Fist before Danny Rand.
Can he power up his guns?
He powers up his guns and they shoot chi. No, I don't think that's the case.
Chi bullets.
But like it's mainly like him kind of jumping around New York and there's like a murder that happened. And then he finds out the murder was from like a different Iron Fist, I believe. And then at the end of the book, he finds out that there's like multiple Iron Fists that have happened for like generations. And there's somebody that's going around and like, or he finds out that they've always been killed when they turn 30 years old. And the book ends when Danny Rand like turns 30. And so he's like, shit, I'm going to die.
Did that one have like that King Cobra guy?
Yes.
Who has like the chest tattoo or whatever?
Yeah, King Cobra. And it's like that fat guy.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's his name.
Or
it might be King Cobra. The guy that was in Hitmonkey.
Hitmonkey, yeah.
That book's good, by the way. We only read the first trade, but it really picks up when there's like a...
Did that have Ed Brubaker writing it?
Ed Brubaker, Matt Fraction.
Oh, what
it's
a,
good. What I'm a, surprised you don't remember.
What a duo. Yeah, dude, honestly, just like some stuff, it doesn't, if it doesn't like hit me, like it'll just kind of just, go away.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
Hold on.
I think it had a longer name.
It was like Cobra of a... Yeah, it's not King Cobra.
Fat Cobra.
Fat Cobra.
It wasn't a longer name, but yeah, Fat Cobra.
A shorter name, actually.
Yeah, so there's like... In different universes, they all have an iron fist, and then they all fight each other in like this Mortal Kombat tournament.
Wow.
After that, it's really fucking cool. And then you see all of the... You remember in the book when he would do like a move and you'd call it something ridiculous, and then it was just like him doing a different type of like fight move?
Yeah, I remember something
like There's a bunch of that in the tournament, except there's like... There's like Queen of Spiders or something like that, and she's doing crazy shit. I like it. I want to reread it, actually, because I think I have the hardcover of it.
Yeah, because what was that run, like 12 or 18 or something like that?
Went to like 24, I want to say.
Oh, you have like all of it in a trade?
I have the first volume.
Oh, okay.
And then there was like a Immortal Weapons book, and I haven't read that one yet.
Oh, okay.
Where it explores all of them. But anyway.
Coo-coo-coo.
Daredevil Daniel. There's this Frank McGee character, and... He's definitely like a side character, but I actually kind of find him pretty interesting because he has like roots of being like a New York cop, but now he kind of has roots in New Attilan because he's like an Inhuman now and he's working for like the royal people.
Yeah.
But he still kind of low-key helps Daredevil try and figure out this whole Muse situation. So I think like his situation in particular is kind of interesting.
Yeah, because I think he was like cast out because he was like an Inhuman.
Yeah, exactly.
At the precinct, whatever.
And he likes being a cop. And
in
then,
20 years? Yeah. Or whatever.
And he's got the most useful fucking cop power you could possibly have, by
yeah,
the way.
Do you get powers that are accustomed to your job or something?
No, you just got lucky, I think.
Well, because in the painter, beginning, like, never get it on the ceiling, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, because we saw a different Inhuman power, and he just can, like, make snowflakes. He's that...
Oh, yeah, it's just, like, a random dude.
Yeah, random dude. So, I think a lot of the Inhuman powers... were just like random useless powers. Like there was a person that could hold their breath for like an hour and that was their superpower.
Pretty good.
And you realistically, that's probably what would happen if you were just randomly getting turned into superheroes all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, not every power is going to be cool and useful.
So Medusa is not helping.
Yeah.
Because
she wants to.
She wants to like solve it for the Inhumans or whatever.
Yeah. And make sure
that they can, you know, protect them, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I like get, but. Why not work together? You know?
Yeah. And then New Attilan, it's not like a floating city anymore. It's just outside New York, which is kind of funny to me.
Is it still floating or no?
It's just floating. I think it's floating. Yeah. It's like floating just outside New York, like right next to Ellis Island.
So it is a floating city.
I think so. Well, like not floating in the air.
Because
It used to float in the air. It used to be like on the moon, I think.
Yeah. I thought it like was on the moon. Like
it was on the moon and then it was in a mountain.
Like it parked there.
It was in this like. Mountain, I think, at one point. I don't know. Shit's crazy. But it being just outside New York, I think, would be kind of scary if you could, like, see it. Like, if you go to see Ellis Island and you
see terrifying.
Like, this, like, giant castle city thing just outside there, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on in there?
Yeah.
You know? Issue 13. These covers, by the way, are really good in this book.
Yeah, they're fire. All of them are cool.
So Muse takes the judge from the courtroom and he runs off with them. Blind Spot follows Muse into a sewer where Muse has other victims that are about to be killed as a part of his next art piece about like the whole judicial system, I guess. But Blind Spot and Muse, they like fight, but Blind Spot's able to slip away and he starts directing the hostages out from the sewers. But Blind Spot is still stuck in the sewers with Muse and Daredevil isn't able to get to him.
Yeah, he's about to escape. Like out of a manhole, but
and gets grabbed.
He grabs him
because his battery ran out of power, and so he couldn't go invisible anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So cool action double page spread in here.
With
the two of them. I like that a lot.
With the windy panels.
Yeah, windy panels.
It kind of looks like the old like Microsoft logo.
Oh yeah, it kind of does. That was the best logo,
probably.
The like Windows 7 one.
Yeah, the four panel thing is a little boring.
Yeah. And then there's a line from Muse that I actually think is pretty good in this, but he's talking to his victims about his next art piece, and he's trying to figure out what he wants to do because he doesn't really know yet. And he says, symbolism is tricky. It's a fine line. Too little and no one gets the point, but too much and it's obvious. Art should never be obvious. And when he said that, I'm like, this guy's low-key kind of spitting. Because like, I feel like that's
damn, I want to see what he does.
You know? That's definitely the art. Yeah, exactly. Because that's the art I tend to engage with the most, where it's like, it's not obvious where they're like spoon-feeding it to you, but
yeah,
a lot of stuff can definitely go over my head if it's like too abstract, you know?
Sure.
And so I like that fine line. And so when he said that, I'm like, it's kind of right, low-key. I agree with him.
I like the weird shit that's at like Phoenix Art Museum sometimes.
Yeah, that stuff is cool.
Where it's like, sure. Man, like that's just like a, it's just like a legal pad leaning up against a wall or something. Like,
do you like that one?
Did someone leave this here?
Have you seen the banana like duct taped to the wall?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's funny just thinking about how did this get here, you know?
Yeah. But it's like, did someone have like that kind of clout?
Dude, I saw a piece. I don't know if it was at Phoenix Art Museum.
It's good to recreate, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if it was at Phoenix Art Museum, but it was like, you know those like plastic grocery bags that just say like thank you a bunch of times?
Yeah.
It was that, but like really big. And that was the art piece.
Really big?
Like a really big plastic grocery bag.
Mm.
And it was like staged and looked like that, you know? And what, I was like...
Was it actually a grocery bag?
I don't know. I couldn't touch it.
Oh.
I don't know if it was like actually plastic or if it was a different material, but it looked exactly.
You just
exactly,
want to shake it a little?
I did. I want to like, I want to like get my hand just in like there. Punch just, it. Yeah.
It's probably something that's just made to.
It's probably look. Talking about the environment or something or consumerism, something like that. But
yeah, sometimes they'll like make something and it's like a piece of wood or something, but it's like not wood, you know?
But even that's kind of impressive.
I'm like, wow,
you know?
They do that. It looks just like wood.
Or it'll be like,
or is it just a piece of wood?
It'll be a picture of something and it's like, this is all made with quarters. And it's like,
yeah,
those are fucking quarters.
Mm-hmm. And then this next cover is like probably the best cover.
Yeah, pretty cool. Looks the scariest
ever. I don't know. It's pretty sick.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
Best Daredevil. Because I've seen this cover. I've seen this before.
Yeah. I think I have all these covers actually.
I was definitely.
I'm about to go look.
I was still new when this was coming out.
Yeah.
But I think I saw it before. And but yeah, definitely. This also just kind of feeds into my love for like faceless characters, you know, where
name more.
Huh?
What are more faceless characters? Like Bloom?
Bloom's faceless, yeah.
Bloom's cool.
I think even like I guess people with masks kind of help because like, this is what he has.
Yeah, true. Or like a Deathstroke.
Like Mr. Negative? Yeah. Negative Man.
Negative Man.
Negative Man's a good one. You got like Rorschach.
Yeah, Rorschach's a good one.
Things like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
I'm just like, ooh, so mysterious. Who are they?
I also just noticed for the first time that in this cover, his like little art palette thing is Daredevil's face. And I thought it was just blood.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's pretty fucking
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's to the side.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a piece of meat and some blood.
Piece of like.
I mean, meat. I guess it is. Like it's a piece of a face, but.
Yeah. Anyway, issue 14. So Daredevil has to like lock in. And like figure out where
the colors on this page are sick.
They're unbelievable. Yeah, I think he does this a couple time in Charles Soule's run. This is like I don't really like when he does this. He's like, let me lock in and hear everything. You know,
everyone shut up.
Yeah, pretty much. That's like what he's doing.
He it makes it seem like hard. He sees infrared. You know.
Yeah. No. Like I get the color effect. It does seem like that. Like literally, but it's just funny to me that he can focus so hard that he sees more and then like his nose starts bleeding and stuff. Like, I don't know. There's something about that doesn't work that, you know, for me, but
he's just taking like a real mean shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it gives off.
So it takes him to a warehouse where Muse like practices his art, and Muse has Blind Spot tied up. And when Daredevil shows up, Muse is like, I got your boy here. And then he pokes both of Blind Spot's eyes out as a distraction, like kind of throws him down to Daredevil.
I don't know, out, but he like definitely like
he like pushes him in, pushes him a lot, whatever yeah. That, yeah, whatever you call that. What would you call that?
Stabs smushed,
him, smushes. He smushes Blind Spot's eyes, to make. You know, honestly, I wonder if Blind Spot. I wonder if this was like the plan for this character the whole time
to make Blind Spot blind.
Yeah,
maybe.
Charles Soule, you fucking genius. But Blind Spot tells Daredevil like, go chase him, I'll be fine right here, which leads them to where Muse has people like hanging upside down to like drain their blood. They're like still alive. So Daredevil stays to help them. And then luckily Muse gets caught by the Inhuman cops sort of on the roof, where they reveal Muse's gross ass face. It looks exactly like his mask. So, you know, not all going there. And then Sam tells Daredevil that saving all those people was worth it, which is a really nice moment, I feel like.
Yeah, Muse looks like a dead man.
He looks, you know, like I wrote down the note, like his face just looks like what his mask looked like.
He looks like,
right,
but the Batman character, like the Help.
He looks
like just super old.
He looks like when Darth Vader's mask gets like taken off.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
But the fact that his mask looks like that, and like his face looks like that, like they're kind of the same. I wonder if there's like a metaphor that he was going for there, where there's like nothing hidden sort of under the mask. It's just kind of more of the same.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I don't really know what it is. I know there's something there, but I think that's partly why I like this book, is because it's not obvious, you know.
It just reminds me of like
when someone
takes off a pair of sunglasses and just more sunglasses. There's some wrestler.
See, I hope there's a moment like this in the show where they take off his mask and it looks exactly the fucking same.
There's like some wrestler meme where like he's got like this white mask. He looks like he's in like Slipknot or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes it off and there's just another one.
That's good. That's a good bit.
Yeah.
It's always funny ones.
There's when Daredevil like crashes into the warehouse or whatever to save Blindspot, Muse is like, with like a period.
Ah. Yeah.
I don't know if he's like, Daredevil's like, here. Ah. Or if he's like, like he's actually scared or something. And that's just.
This moment where he like smooshes his Blindspot's eyes is crazy though.
Yeah.
I forgot. Or like, as soon as I read it, I was like, oh yeah, that was fucking crazy. But he's like blind now. And so that sucks.
Cause maybe he can recover. Maybe there's a way to fix his eyes or something.
There's something that happens.
Okay.
I can't remember what.
He gets new eyes.
There's an Inhuman that sees through a dog. And I really like that guy. He like has a dog companion.
And does like, he control the dog companion? Like, yeah, tell him where to go?
Yeah. And they're like, he's a good boy.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. And then he like, there's more powers that he has. But I just enjoyed that aspect of his character. And I think that's a Charles Soule created character. But
he's got some good ideas here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then this moment where we see like all the people kind of hanging upside down. That's pretty bizarre.
Those are people from the painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess he's planning to do more with that.
Because I guess his reasoning is for that he needs like fresh blood for painting.
Because yeah.
If it oxidates, it clots and it just is hard to paint with, I guess.
It's not good painting material. So
yeah.
And so yeah, that's the book. And let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We didn't get shit.
Just a back page, Jason.
Just the back page. So no back matter there.
It's gotta be crazy that like the back cover, it's like a different material than the pages on the inside. You know? Like the outside of a trade.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So I guess like
it's like a cardstock.
Yeah, the cardstock would have the last page on it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or maybe it's like a blank page or
something. I think it's just a blank page that they took out of the digital edition, but
so is Muse like a one arc villain?
No, he comes back.
Okay, I was about to say, I'm like, this seems like,
no, this isn't like a waste for him, you know, because he's not dead, but yeah. There's more of him.
Nice.
But I think this is a really good introduction for him. So
it definitely fleshes out like what he does in his like whole shtick.
Yeah.
And then just kind of sees him do his villainy for a little while.
Yeah. Cause when I saw him in the Daredevil trailer, I was like, oh yeah, that guy was cool. And then rereading this, I'm like, I'm pretty stoked to see what they do with him. Cause I think there's a lot that you can do with like the essence of this character that, you know, he's probably not gonna be killing Inhumans in the show, but he's probably gonna still be making like murderous art pieces, and I think that's cool. So I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, that might be something like this. I wonder if he's just going to be like a.
He could be a very small part, which I'd be kind of disappointed by.
I wonder. So IMDb shows the first season has 9 episodes, but then it has second season listed that also says 2025.
Damn, they're cooking.
So are they going to like?
It's not. There's not going to be.
Maybe there'll be like a little break. Because I think they originally filmed like 18
episodes
or something.
That's right.
So I think they rewrote 18
is a lot.
But it seems kind of bloated with how much is in there, like in that trailer.
Yeah, so to fit all of that 9 episodes
would make it. It's like it, Muse would have like one episode maybe.
Yeah.
Because you got like the Punisher, you got Bullseye, you got Kingpin.
You got White Tiger.
White Tiger, Muse. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot to work with.
Yeah, true.
It's also continuing what
has happened. Bullseye?
I said Bullseye, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, hopefully it's like a part, season one, part one and part two kind of deal. I didn't, I don't know if they've announced how that's going to work, but.
Yeah, anyway.
Excited to see it. So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I'd rate it, I love it, of a Cherry Garcia. You know, like I know I like it and I like the idea of it. And I know I'll like it if I like choose it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I am with like Daredevil in general, I think. Like I don't always put the time for it, but once I do, then I'm like, yeah, this is good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
I don't think we've read a bad Daredevil thing. And I don't know if there is any necessary like bad Daredevil runs.
There's a couple of trades in Charles Soule run where I was like, what are we doing?
Sure.
But
overall, pretty solid.
I think he's one of the best of like Daredevil writers that have been on it since I've been reading comics, you know?
Sure.
So, I mean, this has got to have it for me. I really like this trade. I think it's pretty strong. I like that it's ingrained in sort of Marvel continuity in a really natural feeling way. Good characters getting developed and character development for existing characters in the run. And it feels pretty self-contained for the most part. So this has got to have it. I'd probably go... It's like a black and red ice cream I could do. Is there any black ice cream?
No, but there's like...
Maybe I'll
cookies
do like
and cream.
What if I do... I'll do a vanilla, but with like... Those like saucy cherries, you know? I'll do two cherries to make it look like the Muse.
Like
head.
A cherry puree kind of thing?
Yeah, and it'll make it feel like the Muse mask.
Cherry sauce?
Yeah.
There you go.
So I just put two cherries that are very saucy.
Sounds fire.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. So, yeah, great book. I recommend.
Good stuff. So let's get in the pull list. Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box? Do you know what's coming out today?
Okay. I think so. Was Absolute Batman 5 last week?
That was this week.
That was this week?
Yes.
Was Batman 157 this week?
That was last week.
What the f*** did I do then?
That's what you ordered.
Okay, so I ordered Absolute Batman 5.
Okay.
Absolute Superman 4.
That was last week.
Fuck. Green Lantern Corps number 1?
I don't know.
I think that's this week. Lucky Devils number 2.
Yeah.
And then The Moon is Following Us number 6.
Yep.
So that's the stuff that I ordered. Some of it's from last week, I guess. I don't understand how to order things online. I like to go into the store. But now there's none near me, and my life sucks. What'd you get?
Absolute Batman 5. I might get One World Under Doom. I might flip through it.
I'm just so uninterested in that.
Moon is Following Us 6. I might look through Bug Wars, which is like...
Oh, yeah.
Jason Aaron's new book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get Lucky Devils 2.
Really?
And I Hate Fairyland 20 comes out.
Whoa.
I've been getting that, but I haven't been reading it.
Yeah.
And then a couple issues ago, I saw that the story arc called Endgame is going on. So I'm like, oh, maybe this is the end of it.
It gets you.
Because the first run was 20 issues. So I think he's just doing 20 issue runs.
Okay.
And there isn't like a 21 that's
signed it.
Yeah, promoted or whatever.
Okay.
So I also dropped Absolute Batman 5 and The Moon is Following Us.
Wow.
Or Absolute Batman just
you
in general.
Dropped?
Yeah. Like
so you're not going to get more like The Moon is Following Us?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I read Moon is Following Us 5. And there was like an interesting thing in that issue. But I think that. But this trade ended at 5.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure how long it's going. It might do 10.
10.
It is 10?
10 total, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It's just like I read that. I'm like, all right, that's the arc.
You get an arc.
It's like a little... There's like so much happening. There's a lot of like war stuff that happens. And it's just kind of like boring to me.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a lot of...
It can be hard to follow.
Crazy things. Like I get what's happening. But I don't know. I feel like it... already could be like half the issues.
Yeah, true.
And be effective. I read Absolute Batman 4, which is that Gabriel Walta one.
Mm-hmm.
I like that artwork and I like Walta, but this issue I don't think really did anything for me story-wise.
Okay.
I think that could be a big drop off in art for people who don't know Walta.
Yeah.
He's going from Nick Jagoda to Walta. For a Batman thing,
pretty
kind of
well. Okay,
jarring.
I haven't read it yet, but was it like a flashback issue or something? Or
there is some flashback stuff,
But some like current stuff too?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And so I don't know. I was also really tired when I was reading them. So I don't know. Maybe my
that happens too.
Patience was at a minimum. I read Lucky Devils number one, and that one was fucking wordy.
It's a bit wordy.
I was like, okay.
And but like,
I was like, all right, I see it, and the concept I get, and then is like good, but I don't think it's like for me.
Yeah. I'm normally not a big Hell guy either, or like stories that.
Not even that. It's just like the story is like set up. I wasn't like, oh man, can't wait for two. You know? Yeah.
I think that's fair. I don't think I was necessarily the same way, but I'm kind of interested in how the world kind of works because it looks like Hell is just New York or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what does that look like
for
them?
It is.
And so I'm kind of interested to see how it progresses in issue two, but I definitely think if it gets like any drier, it could be a drop for me.
Yeah.
So.
But Ryan Brown art is really good.
He's so good.
So I'm like, dang, he did like a lot of work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that was a double size because it felt.
Yeah, I think it was a longer
long,
one. It was at least 30, I think.
Probably.
Cool.
What else did I read? I read Public Domain number 6. And then I read Shirtless Bear Fighter 2, number 1 wow. through 3.
Okay.
And so.
Is it good?
How much of that did you read? Any of it?
I think I might have read the first issue. But I can't remember it.
I think you told me about the first issue because there's like gummy bears that he's fighting.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that.
It's really good. It's definitely going deeper in like
into Shirtless Bear Fighter lore,
which I really like. Okay. And there's plenty of bear puns.
Cool.
The first trade
is run out.
Huh?
You think they would have run out of
bear puns?
Keeps
going.
Okay, nice.
The first one is very surface level for like the concept and works so well in that. And then this one, I think, is what it's supposed to be, is going just kind of deeper into that and just figuring out what this dude's about.
Okay.
And it's good. The first issue's double size, so that was like kind of not great for momentum, but the rest of them were like shorter as they go. Like the second was 30 pages. And I think the third one was 30 pages. So they're beefy issues. Mm-hmm. So like worth the price. But the whole trade is like 220 pages or something like that.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Shirtless lore.
Yeah, it's like 7 issues.
His name is Shirtless, right?
Shirtless.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, you find it entertaining and
yeah, stuff. I like it. I think it's good.
Cool.
It's just like every issue, like some new character or some new concept is brought up and I'm like, oh, that just works so perfectly for this, you know? So
well, maybe we could do the sequel for the show.
Did you let Ben borrow that trade?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. He's the perfect person for that.
Yeah. I don't know if he's read it yet because he's been busy with school, but I'm going to ask him about it actually. Cool.
Did you read your 7 issues, Nathan?
Dude, I tried so hard.
Oh my God.
I read 5.
5.
I read 5.
Dang, you owe me like 11 next week.
Oh God. Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Just read, catch up on Saga, dude.
That's a good idea. Well, I was going to read Absolute Batman 3 and 4 today so I could get to 7 at least, but I couldn't. I worked late.
Fair enough.
But I read a couple number ones. I read Absolute Superman 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like something about it. I was like, I wonder what Daniel liked about this. Like I thought it was good.
I just thought it was so cool.
It is cool.
It's like so like,
but it's not as like dude hell yeah cool. I think as like the other ones.
It's not as dude hell yeah, but it's so like,
but the
dystopian.
It is,
you know, and like the all the different ideas that are thrown in there.
There are, I think, there are the most different ideas.
Number two isn't quite as good as one, but I don't know. I just like. When you're reading a Superman and you have like no expectations really.
Yeah.
Other than like what I said about it.
But I think like, I had high expectations because he liked it so much, but there's interesting stuff going on there. Like the peacemakers.
Yeah.
Like that whole sort of core is kind of interesting. And there's like Lazarus's life or whatever, but that's supposed to be like what it means is like peace and stuff. But then the military sort of taken it over and used it as a word for like, you know, war pretty much. So some of that stuff is cool. I don't really understand how the suit works. And I think we're not supposed to at this point, so that's fine.
Right.
I like Lois Lane in this. She's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think the Krypton stuff.
The Krypton stuff is the most interesting Krypton stuff I think I've ever read.
Yeah.
Because normally we don't... I feel like Krypton is something that they kind of go back to a lot to like re-explain how shit happened. Yeah. And it's always kind of reflective of what's going on, like, in the times. Mm-hmm. And I think this one's pretty effective for the times now, because I think it has, like, a lot of parallels to us not treating our environment the way that we should be, or, like, being too reliant on certain technologies.
Yeah, it's kind of always been, like, a parallel.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of going deeper into that.
Yeah, and I like that fucking Jor-El, like, Kal-El's parents are just kind of, like, working class people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they do sort of twist around a lot of the ideas, because, you know, Absolute Wonder Woman is kind of, for the most part, pretty similar, except for the fact that she was born in, like, hell and raised in hell.
Yeah.
And then Absolute Batman's pretty similar. He's, like, still in Gotham, except he just isn't really rich, you know?
Yeah.
But this one kind of takes, like, a whole sort of twist, and there's a good classism sort of thing. So I definitely like it.
And the art's so sick.
The art, oh my god. Rafa Sandoval is so good. He did, like,
a baller.
He did a big chunk of New 52 Green Lantern.
Oh, did he?
And
that sounds awesome.
I fuck with it so hard. He's like one of my favorite Green Lantern artists.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
So I'm excited to see him doing, like, a really big thing. So I like that book. The book I liked the most this week that I read was New Gods number one.
Yeah.
That book is fucking...
Isn't it rule?
It's like, it's just on such a different level than, like, all the other
stuff. It's crazy, stuff. Right?
I'm like, what the hell? It's so good.
It's like, take it easy.
Jorge Fornes is on the first couple pages, and I'm like, God, he's so good, you know?
And, like, is it just, like,
just
exactly what you wanted it to be?
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's, you, like, want to learn a little bit, and you want something that's, like, understandable, you know?
And, like, New Gods is really intimidating,
mm-hmm.
and they're almost, I'd say they're kind of a little bit intimidating here, but as long as you're, like, along for the ride, you get everything you need to out of it.
Yeah.
But God, it's so cool, dude. It's
we just... go back and get some more Mr. Miracle, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. And, like, he's still got a baby.
Tom King is Mr. Miracle.
But it's, like, a different baby?
He's got a new baby.
So does he have two babies now, or did one baby die?
Two babies.
I didn't see the first baby.
Because
the first baby's, like, a boy, right?
Maybe I missed something. But yeah, it's Olivia Free.
Yeah.
Her name is, like, Liv Free.
Liv Free. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Come on. It's cool. I like the dilemma that Scott Free's put in. I like the aura of, like, Orion and Light Ray and shit like that.
Yeah, that family dynamic is cool.
I was reading it and I was like, this is so relieving that it's as good as as I wanted it to be, because in my head I was hyping it up a lot because I really like those two.
And it doesn't creators. Like drag.
No.
Which it definitely has the right to, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah.
Totally. So
very happy about that one.
He's a very good cosmic artist, and I'm super into that, so I recommend.
Issue two. Evan Cagle or something?
Evan Cagle, yeah.
Yeah, he's a baller.
Yeah. Yeah, he got me like 150 likes.
Yeah.
Just by adding him and telling people that he's awesome. But anyway, so I read that. That was super fun. TMNT number 6 I read, which I think came out last week or the week before.
So is that the first one of the...
I don't know.
Like, series? Who's the artist on it?
Juan Ferreira?
Yeah, I think he's, like, the regular.
Okay.
So I think that's...
Interesting.
Are they all together?
All the turtles are together.
Okay, so yeah, that's, like, the... Technically, like, the first issue as far as, like, the... That arc,
I think that's cool. It's not as, like, stylized as some of the other art, like the first 6 issues.
It's, like, pretty straightforward.
No, I would say he feels the most like Kevin Eastman.
Oh, cool.
In a sense where when the turtles are, like, fighting, they got, like, their teeth out and they're like, arr, like, kind of looking.
You gotta be like, arr.
And, like, so they look cool.
They're always angry.
They're always angry, and they got, like, this weird, like, you know, Kevin Eastman style. So I think it works for the book. But, you know, he actually is really good. Some of the coloring, I think, could be a little bit brighter.
Okay.
But for the most part, the whole book's, like, going on at night, and they're kind of jumping around New York trying to avoid the Foot Clan. So maybe I'm jumping on that a little bit more. But I like the story.
Cool. That's important.
So I think it's cool. I like it. I'm going to keep going with it. I read The Seasons number 1.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Rick Remender, Paul Zaceta one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is Paul Zaceta.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's awesome.
He's very good.
And it's... I've only seen him do, like, scary or, like, gritty or grounded stuff, I guess.
He's on Outcast, yeah.
He's on, like, Outcast. He's did a lot of Jason Aaron's Punisher. So a lot of, like, kind of depressing stuff. And this is more of a Tintin-inspired kind of story.
Mm.
So a lot of it's kind of just following this news or this letter courier trying to deliver a letter. And it keeps, like, getting caught by a gust of wind. And then it lands on someone's face as they're, like, on a bicycle or whatever. And she's trying to, like... grab it, and it's like it's really really fun, but there's like a weird eerie part of it, and fucking there's the colorist, I gotta look it up, he's good, he's like, it's not Matt Wilson but the other one, Matt Hollingsworth.
Oh, Hollingsworth,
he's
is
great
good.
As well, so mm-hmm. The book visually is very cool and refreshing, and there is a mystery, I just don't know if I'm going to pick up the next one. So
sure.
And then that's all the stuff I read.
Noise, noise, noise. Did you watch anything?
I watched Invincible. First three episodes.
First three?
Yep.
Dang, dude, it was gas.
It is pretty gas. I'm a Cecil fucking believer.
Apologist.
I'm a Cecil apologist, dude. Everything he's doing, I'm like, that makes sense.
When you're reading that book, like, all the villains and, like, kind of all, like, those people of, like, power, you're always like, all right, it's kind of fucked up. I like, get it, you know? And yeah. So it's kind of, you're always like, but you're like, oh, but Invincible, he's like the main guy. He's got a point.
Like, you should, you, and yeah, so I agree that he should know that Mark is nice, but then he thought Omni-Man was nice, and, you know, so he can't really take that risk again. He's making a calculated sort of decision.
Yeah.
And then, but I do agree with what people are saying, where, like, he puts this contingency plan in place, and then he just uses it as soon as he, like, can, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like a last resort. He fucking whips that shit out as soon as he can, and he sticks all the people on him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's good. I think this has a better start than, like, season two did, where they're kind of mourning the loss of, like, Omni-Man or just what happened.
Yeah.
So I think this is cool.
I like that beginning of, like, the third episode where they're showing, like, the villains and, like, their life and, like, why they're robbing banks and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, damn, this is deep.
And then I know,
they just get
sad.
Punched in the fucking face.
It's really funny because those are the guys that were in the first season, right? And that
yeah.
big sort of with the techno guy, whatever his name was. And, like, that battle beast scene.
Yeah. It was like, what is his name?
I don't know. The auto-tune gangster guy.
Yeah, like
tech. So I like them. I like their design a lot. I don't really know how their powers work, but, and I'm like, damn, they didn't even really want this life, to be honest, but they're forced to do it. And then they just get punched in the face.
Yeah.
So that's a good start.
They tried an honest life.
Do you think that there's, like, some criticisms being thrown around about the animation looking a little bit stiff? What do you think about that?
I think the animation's better than season two. But I feel like season one is, like, the best animation, and it definitely has room for improvement.
Yeah.
But possibly it's because, like, it's an all-celebrity cast kind of thing, so
yeah.
It could be, like, expensive to keep
yeah.
that up.
Less, yeah, true.
What I noticed is, like, when they're in, like, the white room, and he's fighting all the Reanimen,
mm-hmm.
like, that's, like, a bloody fucking scene. Like, I remember, like, how bloody it was, like, from the comics.
Oh, and it's
and
not
so
as bloody here.
Yeah, it is, like, bloody, but just, like, the splatter and
but, like,
shit.
Like, a standard blood.
Is definitely, like, a next level up.
Mm.
And so when that's, like, held back, that, like...
Kind of sucks.
Yeah, it can knock off a point of why I liked the book so much, because
yeah.
it's just ridiculous, you know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, and, like, that's an opportunity where you can get super bloody, because he's not really holding back.
Yeah.
You know, these people are already kind of dead and things that he hates.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's... I think it is, like, a little bit stiff, so I can tell when they're, like, trying to, when there's not action, they're just kind of, like, a little bit stiff. But then there's points where you could tell that they really lock in, like, that, like, Cecil flashback, and his face melts off.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, they really, like, toned it together for this part. And I think for the most part, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I will still think about how, like, kind of weird it is in between those parts. But it doesn't bother me as much as it seems to bother other people.
Yeah, I mean, you're there for, like, the story, mostly.
Yeah, for the most part.
So.
What's going on? Oliver, he's doing some shady shit.
Yeah. Sarah, she's like, I like those guys. I'm like, the Mahler twins? He's like, yeah, they're fun.
I like them, too.
I just didn't expect my wife to say that about these characters that keep coming back.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, I think these guys are here, like, the whole run. I, like, couldn't remember. And then... Oliver, like, fucking kills him. I'm like, oh, maybe not.
They might just come back. They
unless,
seem to just
they
come
might
back
get
randomly,
like,
you know?
Cloned again somehow or something.
Yeah.
But
Oliver fucking kills him. So yeah, I don't really, I mean, this is past what I've read in the comic. So
yeah.
I'm just kind of along for the ride at this point. But it's cool.
Do you like the new suit?
Dude, no.
No?
I don't really like it. I like the yellow and blue sort of contrast.
The black lens kind of adds a darkness to it. And
it does.
The bright colors is definitely a good touch.
I've always wondered, like, when he changes his suit. And it makes sense because he's kind of reinventing himself a little bit and how he operates.
They didn't do it exactly like the book. Because in this black and blue suit, he has, like, full gloves. Like, he doesn't have the fingerless gloves. And that was something that really pissed off fans when he had that. Because
when
they
had
really,
full gloves?
Yeah,
they like the fingerless gloves.
They like the fingerless gloves, but in this
I don't
one,
think
he
I've ever heard anybody
gloves.
Defend fingerless gloves.
Yeah, and then he also his boots are different. Like his boots like went up to like his knees, and he had like kneecap or he had like knee.
Oh yeah, kneecap things.
Yeah, kneecap things. But now he doesn't. They just kind of look like long socks.
Mm.
So
I think that would help, honestly, if they had that aspect of it in the show.
Right. Well, they do in the OG costume, the kneecaps and whatnot. But in the new design in the book and in the show, it's just the long sock look.
Yeah, I think so want the kneecap design is what I'm
saying. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's like satisfying to go back to the old one, because you got the kneecaps, you got the fingerless gloves.
Yeah, I think just to break up the black is kind of important. And I feel like the yellow and the blue did that pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good design in general. So
I hope people are like, they're calling him Invincible Boy or something like that. They're like, that's Invincible Boy. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, I like the Adam Eve relationship. I always knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah, it still feels like, I feel like we're further in the story, but like their relationship hasn't gotten as far as it
was in like
I thought they were at this point.
Yeah,
because it is definitely for the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and so that is like a very strong relationship. It's like a Peter Parker, Mary Jane kind of thing,
right?
You know, so
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she gets it.
She does. And on the alien, pretty fun.
Go
as always.
Yeah.
And he looks buff. And he knows
like,
it.
They like try to kill him. Like, it didn't work.
He's like, they're going to shoot a laser at me later.
Yeah.
He's gonna die. I hope
Iron Man's like, you survived?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. I'm excited where this is going. And hopefully some crazy shit happens soon, because it doesn't feel like anything that crazy has happened. I didn't really care for much of like the villain that caught all the superheroes and they were underground. There's big bugs.
Doc Seismic.
Yeah, I didn't really care for him that much.
But it's more that was the only weak him part. As like a character isn't that exciting, but just
like I know we've seen
with enough planning, it can be like kind of interesting.
Yeah, I know that like he was in this first or second season somewhere, and then he fell into the lava. And so it's cool to see that he's like come back and was able to do this big heist thing, but. For the mm-hmm. most part, I was like, this is a little weaker for me, but
yeah,
I'm excited to see where it goes.
I watched more of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Okay.
So they dropped the first two episodes at like the premiere date, and then this week they dropped three episodes.
What the fuck?
And then I guess next week they're dropping another three episodes.
Wow, and so what a weird release schedule.
I'm like, is no one watching this or something?
Maybe they just wanted it to be wrapped up by like Captain America. By the time Captain America comes out?
Maybe. So I watched the rest of
the second drop. Mm-hmm.
And they're cooking like a little less with this one. There's like a character who's like someone who goes to his school and is like gets wrapped up in like gangs and stuff. And there's this like
Is gang... it Amadeus Cho?
No. Mm-hmm. But there's this like gang war thing that happens. But like there's no guns in the show. So they're just like fist fighting everybody.
Dude, a fist fight gang is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm like, this just reminds me of like, remember like Static Shock, that show where there was like gangs and stuff?
Yeah.
But no one was shooting anybody, really.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And they're just fighting. Well, they were like mutant gangs or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just kind of funny. I'm like, because like the gang that he's in is scary. Like the situation that he's putting himself in and who runs it and all the people and stuff like that. But then when they're fighting and they're just punching each other, it's just kind of weird.
It feels very like just elementary school.
Yeah.
Scrap,
I'm like, there's guns in the MCU, but I guess this is like a kid show or whatever. So less gun violence, I imagine.
I don't know. Put guns. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Expose them to the real world. They can handle it.
Did you watch anything else?
I watched Hereditary.
Ooh, spooky movie.
Very spooky movie.
Yeah.
One of the movies that you recommended me on some time ago is on a list on Letterboxd that you gave me.
It sure is.
I knocked another one of those out this week.
What'd you rate it, Nathan?
On Letterboxd, I rated it 4.5.
Wow.
Good. There is a dead dog at the end. So it couldn't be a 5-star for me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that's like the top 3 scariest movie I've ever seen in my life, I think.
Yeah. No, it's scary.
I didn't think. I thought it was. So I've only seen Midsommar from Ari Aster, I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure, unless I've seen some other random movie from him.
Did you see Bo is Afraid?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I heard that was bad, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think some people like it.
Yeah, but so I since I've seen Midsommar, I was like, this will probably be like more disturbing than scary, but mm-hmm. it was definitely more scary than disturbing, but it was definitely a little bit of both.
Yeah, Midsommar is like an interesting
it's not like
turn, but then it was also fire, you know?
Yeah. I also didn't know anything about this movie, which
that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Because I see tons of clips, you know?
Well, I think I've like seen just random, I don't know, like random snippets, but really I didn't know anything. I know that the just like two actors pretty much that were in it, and I'm like, okay. And I knew I was going to watch it eventually, so I tried to stay away from it, but it's awesome going in blind.
Absolutely.
Because I didn't know, spoilers, I guess.
If you haven't seen like one of the best scary movies in the last 10 years.
Go fucking see it if you like scary movies. It's like definitely needed, but I didn't expect it to go spiritual or like demonic or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So just the fact that it did that and did it so well without it seeming weird is pretty fucking cool.
Toni Collette was going off.
She is so good.
She's incredible.
When she is like miserable after her kid dies, it feels very uncomfortable.
I believe it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I think Ari Aster just likes showing people mourn.
Like women screaming.
Like, yeah, but like mourn, but like in the hardest way possible. Because in the beginning of Midsommar, Florence Pugh does that and it's terrible to watch, you know? I just feel bad. I feel bad. I'm like, what an awful fucking situation. So it feels terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think in this movie, it's probably the best I've ever seen a movie build up tension.
Yeah.
Constantly. Throughout the whole movie, it's building up tension. And then in like little moments, it builds up tension and explodes out in like this, the biggest possible moments from like, you know, when Charlie's head gets fucking knocked off to like random, you know, spiritual moments. And then there's naked people in your house and you're like, what the fuck is that? And then that all kind of comes together. It's awesome. And then when like Toni Collette's character gets possessed and is like really not
one of the most
back,
most terrifying imagery like ever.
And he's,
when I think of, when I'm in a dark place, I'm like, she's in here somewhere.
I saw it with Sophie, who doesn't really like scary movies that much.
I'm shocked she watched it,
dude. She like couldn't go to bed.
That's what I
she expect. Needed. She was like fucked for that night. She couldn't get any sleep.
Sleep with the light on.
I actually felt terrible because I was like, I can't do anything. The damage is done, you know? So I was like, what do I do? And then I just fell asleep, you know?
Your relationship's so funny that you just keep putting her through this.
And she wants to see it.
She's a game, but she shouldn't be.
She shouldn't be, dude. This is the shit that she fucking hates. There's no jump scares in this movie, which I think she hates the most.
Which is powerful to still well regarded.
Yeah,
is,
it's,
you know?
So impressive because it's one of the scariest things I've ever seen, and there's nothing pops out at you, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what her job is, the mom. She like makes miniature sculptures of random places and
maybe,
you know, stuff like that. But and then I had a little bit of trouble understanding fully what happened at the end. But I was kind of talking it back and forth, and so parts of that I'm like, well, then how did that happen, sort of deal. So
yeah,
because
it's more like along for the ride. I don't know, you have to necessarily think about it that much.
I just think that everything that happens in it is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
top three scary movies, probably like that. I really like Long Legs. I don't know if it's like a top three after we watch it. I think maybe like Talk to Me is one of the better ones, I think. Also, what's good about this movie is that I had no idea where we were going, like how deep they were going to take the spiritual shit.
Mm-hmm.
If they were even going to take that somewhere, or if it was going to be or if she was actually just kind of like sick in the head, I was like, they could go that route and it's like all in her head kind of deal. Like, mm-hmm. I had no idea. And then when it all unravels, it's like, oh, this is actually like a fucked up cult demon thing. And it was really cool.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Pretty good list so far.
Good list. So far, I've liked all the movies you recommended.
Nice. Excited to see what you watch next.
I'm excited to see if I watch something that you recommended me and I just hate it. I don't hate a lot of movies, to be fair, but
I don't think so. I only put them on there because I
if they're
think you should watch them.
Yeah.
Or I think like anyone should watch them, you know?
Yeah.
I watched We Live in Time.
That's the Florence Pugh one?
Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like an A24 sad movie. Sarah, it's really sad. Wanted to watch it.
Mm.
Yeah. She, I don't know why. I think she saw a clip or something. That's not even why she watches things.
Dude, Sophie's been doing that too. She'll watch like three like split TikToks of a scene in a movie,
mm-hmm.
and she like knows movies that way now. The way that she discovers
whatever
is
works,
fucking bizarre.
It's mostly TikTok, so
yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that's what my watch list is full of mostly. And so this is one that she wanted to watch, which doesn't happen often.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't think I wanted to watch it, but I'm like, I know the actors and I heard it was good, so
yeah,
it's like non-linear, which is fun. Because you kind of know what's going to happen, like, throughout the movie, but because it's non-linear, it's not like it's building up, you know, to inevitable end kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you kind of jump around this relationship. It's like, it's definitely sad, but like not in a cheap way, you know, to where like hits you with a scene that's kind of obvious for like a sad movie.
Okay.
Florence Pugh has like cancer in it.
Yeah.
And so in their relationship, and they're kind of going through that. What like makes it sad is it makes you care about the characters like a lot, to where that makes like the circumstances like sadder.
Yeah.
In a way.
Didn't Andrew Garfield like lose his memory or something?
In the movie?
In the movie, yeah.
No.
Oh.
No.
He doesn't forget who she is?
No.
Is that a different movie that came out recently with him and Florence Pugh? I swear that happened.
Forgets who she is.
Yeah, he like, I remember seeing in some preview, Andrew Garfield wakes up and he's like, I'm sorry, who are you? To like Florence Pugh. Those are the two characters in the movie, right?
Yeah. Two actors in the movie.
Two actors, sorry. Were they?
Maybe it was some,
a different movie together?
I don't think so. Because
I think you're just forgetting a part of the movie. I've definitely seen it.
I listened to like an interview with like the director and they didn't know each other. But like Florence Pugh is like the first pick, you know, for the character.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. Maybe it's someone completely different that you're thinking of.
Dude, I'm going to have to find it. That's bizarre to me.
So they're both like British actors and they're like, the movie's based in London. And I think this is the first thing I've seen of both of them where they're just allowed to be British. You know?
Yeah. Everything I've seen them in, they're pretty American.
Yeah. So that was a good aspect of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, pretty good. I give it like 3.5, borderline 4, but like a strong 3.5, you know? I don't really go for sad movies, but the fact that I liked it so much as a sad movie, actually, I kind of like sad movies.
I'll watch a sad movie.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'd be like, oh, you need to see this, but if you're like interested in it, then yeah, go for it. I think it's good.
Yeah.
It's still got like an A24 quality to it.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
Yeah, I don't watch a whole lot of sad movies because I think Sophie's way more empathetic than I am, so it'll hit her a lot harder.
Yeah. I think I'm more empathetic than Sarah.
Yeah.
So there was like a scene that I was like getting teared up at. I'm like, this you gotta stay macho or whatever.
We're gonna fight it off.
But it like wasn't even like a sad part. It was more like showing like how in love they are. That just kind of made me more sad. For what happens, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, cool.
Maybe I was the only person who got teared up at that part, you know? Who knows?
Sometimes it just hits that way.
Yeah. But, Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
That's a good question, Daniel. What do we got lined up?
So we got some...
What's going on in the world next week?
Not much. So we got some open time. I think we could start a themed month, Nathan.
Ooh, let's go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to do a war comic month?
Okay. War comic month? I think so, because we haven't done a single war comic. Really?
Yeah, I guess not.
What other theme months are we thinking?
We got a lot of themes. We could do a new 52 a month.
Okay.
We could do a murder mystery month. We could do westerns.
Uh-huh.
You could do a pet month, pet comics.
Ooh, pet month is a good idea.
Giant robot comics.
Oh, that's such a good idea, too.
Valiant month.
Valiant month.
Video game comics.
I like that idea, too.
Crossover comics. Crime comics.
Let's...
Weird shaped books.
I forgot about that, because there's that like weird Brian K. Vaughan one, right?
Private Eye.
Private Eye.
That's on the list.
That's a funny
thing. Yeah.
Okay. I think I don't want to do video game, but when we do, I want to be prepared to invite some people.
Okay.
Because like Parker's big into Halo and, you know.
There's a Halo comic, yeah.
Yeah, so.
You want to invite someone for the Fortnite comic?
I know. Serena's really big into Fortnite.
We got to have her on.
She would love it, actually. So yeah, I think I'm down with either war comics or big robot comics.
I think sometimes they're one and the same. I think I'm more in the mood for war comics.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so we're gonna start with the
We have like 4 weeks uninterrupted, but I only have like 3 giant robot books.
Okay, that's fair.
We'll do the 4.
Yeah, let's do war for the month, and then so what books are we gonna do?
So there's a book that has been selling quite a lot recently.
Okay.
For circumstances. It's called We Stand on Guard.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Brian K. Vaughan.
Oh, cool.
And it's set in 2112 in a far future.
That hasn't happened yet.
That where only you could imagine it in this time zone, where America goes to war with Canada.
No way.
And so, yeah, that had a spike in sales recently.
That sounds great.
You want to try
the art on it?
Let me look it up.
We Stand on Guard. Yeah, I've seen that around.
If I show you the cover, you'd be like, "Oh, so this is the trade cover."
No. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I've seen that actually.
No. So,
but yeah,
Steve Scrosi is the artist. Matt Hollingsworth on colors.
Ooh, good. Very good. Very good. Okay. Yeah, I'm down for that. Should we say what the other war comics are going to be coming up, or I know we have them down, but
ooh, dude, is there a giant robot in this?
Wait,
that's the number one.
Oh my god, it's a gyro. Okay, I'm in.
We'll do both.
We got him, baby.
So on my list, we have We Stand on Guard. We got Sheriff of Babylon.
Yep.
So that'd be a Vertigo book. We got Punisher Platoon.
Oh yeah.
Which is Marvel. And then we have The Other Side by Jason Aaron.
Yep, yep, yep.
I don't know who published that, but that's
also Image, but I could be wrong.
Probably.
Cool.
Sounds good.
I'm excited to read that.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
So we'll catch you next week for the beginning of War Month.
Yeah.
And let us, if you want to reach out to us, you can email us at traderspod@gmail.com.
Like, comment, subscribe. Link in the bio.
A 5-star goes a long way. Let us know what your favorite Daredevil comic is.
Yeah. Your favorite run.
Favorite run.
Yeah. Who's the best?
Who has the best long run, you know? By long run, I mean over like 20 issues.
I know we haven't read it.
Yeah, we haven't. I mean, Zdarsky's out there. You got to put his name up there.
Brubaker.
What's that meme where he's like, okay, first I got Kobe or LeBron. And then second, he's like, no, Kobe.
Kobe's my two.
Kobe's my two. Yeah. For me, like, Zdarsky's my two. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Who's your number two? Let us know.
You said the email?
And email us. Yeah, I did say it.
Okay. All right. Goodbye.
All right. Bye.